This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The selfie has become a common feature on the social media landscape these days. The fact that the selfie is everywhere is seen as proof by some that we are rushing like lemmings into a sea of narcissism. But my next guest says it's important to remember that every selfie tells a story. In a recent TED Talk in Durham, Negarma Tejeda talked about the selfie as a way to document history in the digital age. Negar is a media studies professor at Duke University and the author of the book #IranElection, #Solidarity and the Transformation of Online Life. Negar, welcome back to the program. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you, too.
So in your TED Talk, you were saying that we should look at the selfie as an important form of global communication. Talk me into it.
Well, you know, we have it that selfies are narcissistic and flippant and disrespectful. But in every instance, when I look at the real story behind a selfie, I find that this is a moment that someone is seeing as important as part of their own history and also as a part of their network's history. So one of the selfies that I started the TED Talk with was the one by Princess Brianna. She posted it on Twitter in 2014, and it was a selfie that she took of herself at Auschwitz, and it created a terrible outrage all over Twitter, but also all over news media. And the fact is that it had a long history, and it was a long and moving history that had nothing to do with her, I don't know, narcissism.
Disrespect. I think part of the critique was her expression, the emoji, and then the context. And I think that given if you didn't know her story and her personal history, and all you saw was the picture and the emoji, you know, you might be forgiven for thinking that this is somewhat disrespectful, right?
Absolutely. Well, the truth is she had been studying the history of Holocaust for years with her dad, and her dad died. And this was a moment where she was remembering dad and saying, you know, I'm here. I'm finally here, and I wish you were here. A very moving story. And, you know, in that context, I even get the emoji.
Is there a way in which the selfie is simply the snapshot of, you know, of the late, you know, of the 20th century? In other words, these common, you know, sort of quotidian moments that we capture that properly curated would tell a story, but otherwise, you know, more or less belong in a shoebox.
Well, I would say that There are certainly certain ones that are that way. Many of the ones I take in a day are that way. Belong to the delete button, in fact, but and not a shoebox. But
though it would be cool if the delete button had an icon like a shoebox. But forgive me. Go ahead. I'm sorry. So here, and I guess here's my point. What's the difference between the selfie and, you know, and pictures at the birthday party or pictures at the wedding?
Well, one of the things that I try to impress on my students, and I don't know how successful I am, is that, you know, if the selfie was just a photograph, then would we object to people taking selfies in serious places? I mean, if Princess Brianna had asked someone else to take a photograph of her at Auschwitz, would there be such an outrage over the photograph? I don't think so. It's, you know, the selfie is a networked object, which means that it is meant to be shared. And in that it's meant to be shared, it's often hashtags and it's geotagged. So the location of the selfie appears oftentimes next to the image, and it is hashtagged, so it's connected to other images. And in that connection, the selfie gains meaning, but it also gains recognition and more likes and favorites and so forth, depending on the platform that it's on.
Well, I think that's the important part here of your talk and your idea about this, is that it really becomes the story in many ways once it reaches the network, that in and of itself, you know, maybe it should be consigned to a shoebox or a delete. But once it goes global, it becomes everybody's story in a way, and it takes on a life of its own. Am I being fair? Is that a good way to characterize? is what you're saying?
Absolutely. It becomes, I mean, it is, oh, I think that the selfie can be thought of as a representative of the people. I think that there can be many predecessors. One can argue for many predecessors to the selfie, the portrait, the mirror. But I think that it's really helpful to think of the selfie in terms of this concept of the people, that the person in the selfie stands as a representative of the others to whom the selfie is networked.
Now, that's fascinating, because there you're saying you're really turning our common idea of the selfie on its head. What we think of is this utterly vain, if not narcissistic, look at myself, here I am, look at me. But what you're saying is when that thing gets out in the real world, it represents a class of people, a body of people.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's how celebrities use it. That's how the front runners in political campaigns have used it. I mean, look at all of the selfies that Hillary Clinton takes. It's a way to humanize herself. It's a way to say, I'm here with you. I am here as one of the people. I am the people. You know, I'm the people's president. It's a very, very powerful tool.
You've also said the selfie is a tool for protest and citizen journalism, using Tunisia as an example, where people took pictures of themselves in front of heaps of garbage, other ways in which they become forms of protest. Tell us more about that.
Well, that is a really powerful example, where citizens walked around the city and took photos of themselves in front of, trash, and as a way to have the city pick up garbage around the, around town. One of the heads of state in Turkey criticized women for publicly laughing, as laughter was an indecent act. And so thousands of women took selfies of themselves laughing in public and posted them all over Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as a way to protest that. Selfies have been used since, I would say, you know, the selfie wasn't a term until 2013, but it did exist, and it was used in the 2009 Iranian post-election campaign, where people were protesting what they believed was a fraudulent election.
Well, I want to get back to that example, but also the example you used in Turkey, where women were taking selfies of themselves laughing in defiance of the law or the fiat. Compare that to a photograph. It has a far different meaning to take this picture of myself. That's the act of protest. I'm doing this, and I'm sending it out to you, versus I'm standing here at the wall. You know, who knows how they caught me? Somebody may have taken this picture, but you become the object of a picture. But I guess when you take your own photo, you become the subject, and therefore this can be more an act of protest.
Right. This is me in my full power and my full glory, and in this moment telling you exactly who I am and where I am. Exactly.
Now, the selfie offers a more personal perspective compared to this. And, you know, this gets to this what I was just talking about, the idea that the cameras, you know, objectifies you. So tell us more about this subjectivity. And again, I mean, obviously they can be frivolous and fun, but how this turning yourself into a subject changes the narrative and perhaps the power of the selfie.
So if you think about the selfie in terms of one of its predecessors, the portrait, in a historical sense, portraits were made of the powerful. The aristocracy would have experienced painters paint portraits of them and the objects that belong to them. And I think that what the selfie does is that it magnifies the importance of the everyday life of the individual. The life of the individual from the perspective of history is important. And I think that's what the selfie foregrounds in a very powerful way.
How is the selfie hashtag linked? I mean, what's the relationship in terms of social activism? Is the text important? Is the hashtag, is that kind of critical to the selfie? It's more than just the snapshot, and I've got to come up with the hashtag?
Well, you know, what the hashtag does is that it groups together conversations, because it is hyperlinked. It also allows you to, so if you click on the hashtag, you get all of the other posts or images that have been posted alongside, under that rubric, under that hashtag. So you get a full network of ideas or images and texts that are connected to the selfie that you post at that, you know, at the time that you post it. I think the hashtag is super important. I mean, many use the selfie as a way to respond to sporting events or to TV shows. And if all they need to do is to post a selfie and the hashtag, and people know exactly what it is, you know, and if you have the time, you know exactly what it is, what moment of the game or what moment of the show that people are responding to with that face or that, yeah, with the selfie.
Well, what about the face? I mean, that's one of the more interesting things to me. You know, if we go back to that picture taken at Auschwitz, when I looked at that photograph and looked into that face, the first thing I saw was the concern in her eyes. And so while there was a smile on her face, there was a kind of depth in her expression. I'm wondering if there's not a kind of selfie face that we all put on, or if in fact we are driven to be authentic in that moment. And in other words, our context will truly be reflected in our face.
I think that that's a very good question. I mean, I think different platforms allow for more and less authenticity. I think that selfies on Instagram are much more curated, where on Snapchat because they don't last on Snapchat, they're much less curated. They're more fun and in the moment. You know, you try out the different filters that Snapchat offers you, but it's not necessarily a moment where you're like trying to look beautiful. You're just playing around and you're being yourself, and it's an authentic expression of your context and your moment. So yeah, I do think that the selfie, like in a broad general sense, the selfie is a mark of intimacy. It conveys a sense of intimacy in the moment.
So in a sense, this is when the political and the personal can come together in the digital age in ways that we couldn't imagine. HB2, I guess, would be an example of this, where hashtag and selfie have come together to really form a pivotal pillar in a movement, right?
It's a very powerful way it's a powerful way to use the selfie. So in the HB2 campaign and other similar campaigns, the We Just Need to Pee campaign or We Are Not, and the hashtag We Are Not This campaign, which is for transgender rights, people have used the selfie and the hashtag We Just Need to Pee as a way to demand the right to access for transgenders. So, for example, some of the images that I showed during my talk were images in a public bathroom with a body that quite obviously didn't belong in the bathroom where the selfie was taken. And it's such a powerful testament to the need to adjust our laws, change the laws.
You talked about the history of the selfie, too, and you took it way back to Gutenberg. This is a fascinating connection. Tell us about that.
So what I was trying to say was, you know, we have that the Princess Brianna story really speaks to the sacredness of the moment which she took it, even though we didn't recognize it when we saw the selfie, right? And I was saying that in the 15th century, when the mirror was first made out of, you know, out of glass and metal, and it was the first time that we saw a reflection of our faces, and we were so fascinated with this thing. It was such a magical object that we integrated it immediately into our everyday life and into really strange, bizarre, sacred rituals. So pilgrims would take a mirror with them when they went on pilgrimage, and they would position themselves just like we position ourselves to take our selfies, so that they would capture the bones, the sacred relics in the mirror. And then they would So the reflection of the relics in the mirror. And then they would take the mirror home as physical evidence of having been present at the sacred scene.
Because it was in there. It was there. And I saw it. Yeah.
And so that was a Gutenberg's startup idea before the printing press was you know, let's sell mirrors to pilgrims.
This is great. hashtag quick buck. Now, wait a minute. I want to clear up one sort of historical fact. I mean, I think we found some form of mirrors among ancient artifacts that predate the 1500s, haven't we? Ancient Egypt and, I mean, some form of polished metal or something.
I'm pretty sure about that, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, this particular version of the mirror, I was thinking of the Venetian mirror.
Got it.
Which is shiny.
Negara Motoheda, thank you so much. A social media studies professor at Duke University, recently gave a TED Talk in Durham. What a pleasure. Thanks for talking with us.
It was great talking to you too, Frank. Thank you.
You can find out more about Negara, her books, and her talks at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, and Charlie Shelton Ormond. Robin Copley's our technical director, Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.